We're going to hear our first Bible reading, which Jude will read for us. And afterwards, I hope you're going to pay attention to this reading, because I'm going to ask you some questions about it afterwards. We're going to have a little bit of an interactive Bible study together. So listen very carefully to this story from John 21.
John 21, starting to read at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the full net of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went abroad and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net wasn't torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, he took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Now this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
So we're reading John 21, 15 to 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to them, "Follow me."
Thank you, David. So as we were just discussing this whole adventure with the disciples, this whole incident recalls for them so many things from the past. It resets their relationship with Jesus. There's the setting of Galilee, just like the old days. There's the story of the catch of fish that was just like their calling. There's the miracle of the fish, and also when he breaks the bread and breaks the fish, that will remind them not only of that supper with Jesus, where he gives them the bread and the wine in that very special way. But also, it would remind them of the feeding of the 5,000, where they watch him break bread and break fish hundreds of times and feed thousands of people. There's the charcoal fire that we've already spoken about. And there's that sense of friendship with Jesus that they would have missed. That laughing together on the beach. There's also this strange little detail which you might have noticed. That Peter, when he hears that it's Jesus, when one of them calls out, "It is the Lord," Peter's the first one and the only one to get out of the boat and quickly swim to shore or splash to shore. But you'll notice this little detail that he puts on his outer clothing because he was naked. Now just think about that for a moment. If I was going swimming in the sea, I wouldn't want to put more clothes on. I wouldn't want to do it in the first place, to be honest. But I certainly wouldn't want to put, my outer clothes on to get into the sea. He puts his clothes on, it says, because he was naked. We don't know whether that means completely starkers or whether, he might have had something on protecting his modesty. But anyway, it says he puts the clothes on. And I think this is an insight into how Peter is feeling at that time. Because John, as you've seen, connects us with many different parts of the Bible before. He draws these little strings that just connect out to all these other stories that have gone before. And at this point where Peter puts his clothes on because he is naked, I think that takes us right back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when the Lord comes looking for them and they are hiding and they've got their fig leaves on, and he says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "We hid from you because we were naked and we were afraid." Afraid of what? Well, maybe a better word is ashamed. We were ashamed. So maybe that's how Peter is feeling at this point. And then Jesus gives him this question. "Do you love me?" he says. He takes Peter to one side. He calls him Simon, son of John, which is his proper name. Peter was just his nickname that Jesus gave him, but we always call him Peter now. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he asks him three times, and this is often called Peter's recommissioning. He asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter answers three times. And I'll get into that in a minute, because it's more complicated than you think. But notice that Jesus doesn't say each time, "I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you." Jesus never mentions the incident in the high priest's courtyard, the charcoal incident, the denial. He doesn't mention it. Maybe all of that is gently implied. And I think this is something to do with Peter's forgiveness, and it's something to do with Peter's healing. And of course, he does it three times, which really affects Peter. But he simply asks Peter if he loves him. When we think about our qualifications to follow Jesus, we might think we've got lots of qualifications. Some of you might have a degree in theology. Some of you might be local preachers or have studied the Bible in lots of different ways. Some of you might have been RE teachers at some point or Sunday school teachers. Some of you might have been Methodists all your life, and you certainly deserve a medal. But when we think about our qualifications, what is the one qualification that Jesus asks of Peter? Do you love me? That is where Jesus wants to start. Do you love me? And so you can simply take the story at that level. Peter denied Jesus three times. Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? And he heals those wounds. He stops Peter from being so ashamed. He lets Peter know that it's all right. They're talking again. And he says right at the end, follow me. And I don't often do this because I'm not very fluent in Greek. But if you look at the Greek that the Bible, that the New Testament was originally written in, if you look at the Greek words, of course, the Greeks have many different words for love. And I just want to talk about that for a minute, because of course we have many different types of love. I mean, my love for Newcastle United is very different to my love for Emily. Very different. And there are other things and people that I love in different ways. The Greeks gave each of those types of love a different name. They didn't have a word for love of football, but I don't know what that would come under. But they talk about eros, which is an erotic, passionate, sexual love. They talk about, and I might be pronouncing this wrong, storge or storge, which is a family love, the type of love that a mother would feel for a child, this sort of natural love. This instinctual relationship between parent and child. There's a love called pragma, which is a very mature, long-standing love focused on commitment, patience, and compromise. And it says here, often seen in marriages. So a lot of you here might know what pragma is all about. There are different other types of love. Mania is a type of love that's actually not very positive because it's about an obsessive, a really obsessive, almost mad love for something. And that's a Greek word. But the two that I want to think about this morning are philia, which is often known as an affectionate love or a brotherly love, a fraternal love, brotherly or sisterly love, a camaraderie. It's a deep love, but it's not as great as agape. And agape is the sort of love that we talk about a lot in church. Agape is the most common sort of love written about in the New Testament. Agape is the sort of love that Paul writes about when he writes that wonderful chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, where he says, agape is patient and kind and self-suffering and it's everlasting. And these three things will remain, faith, hope, and agape. But the greatest of these is agape. And we get this impression that agape is actually the love of God that comes to us. And it's the love that Jesus showed. And it's the sort of self-sacrificial love that that Jesus showed on the cross. It's the sort of love that God gives us and that we can have for others, and that we should ask God to give us more of. Agape is unconditional. It's selfless love. It focuses on giving rather than receiving. So remember those two words, agape and philia. So in the Greek, when Jesus says to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? The question he asks is really, agapas me. Agapas me. In other words, do you love me with agape love? And Simon Peter's answer is a little bit disappointing, because what he says in the Greek is, yes, Lord, you know that I philo you. You know that I'm quite fond of you. You know that I'm rather affectionate towards you in a brotherly sense. And so Jesus asks him the second time, Simon, son of John, agapas me. Do you love me with this highest form of love, this godly form of love, this sort of love that would do anything for me? And his answer again is, yes, Lord. You know that I philo you. You know that I'm quite fond of you. And it is a love, and it is really appropriate. It's the sort of love that he would have with his fellow disciples. It's a sort of love that friendship is built on. But it's not agape. And so Jesus asks him the third time, and you think you know where it's going to go with this conversation, but it doesn't. Because you think Jesus asked him the third time, and the third time he says, yes, Lord, I agape you, or whatever the proper Greek would be for that. But he doesn't say that. Instead, Jesus brings it down a level. And Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, phileas me. Do you love me with that sort of love that you've just described? That brotherly love, that affection, and that camaraderie, that friendship. Do you love me like that? And he says, and this is where he gets a little bit upset, but he says, yes, Lord. You know that I love you like that. Now let's try to understand why Peter might have said that. Why did he respond like that? And I think this proves that the Bible is very real. It proves that the Bible is dealing with real people here and real emotions. Because think of what Peter has been through. Think of the character that he was before. Think of him being as the sort of person who would always be the one. He would always be the disciple to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do anything for you." And he did say on more than one occasion, "I will even die for you." He's already said that. But he's failed. At the moment when Jesus needed him, his love was not strong enough. At least that's how Peter would see it. At that moment, for all his words, for all his expression of love, at that moment, he became human like the rest of us. Because for all of us, at times, our love can let us down. Whatever we think it is, however much we would build it up, at times our love can let us down. And Peter was going into this conversation with Jesus knowing that he'd let him down before, knowing that he'd promised his eternal and everlasting love in the past. And so here in this conversation, this is not Peter with any less love. This is just Peter being a little more humble and a little more realistic and knowing that if he wants to have that kind of love, it's got to come from somewhere else. But the really good thing about this is how it ends. Because we often overlook this little paragraph at the end where Jesus says to Peter, "You know, Peter, you know, when you were younger, so much younger than today, you never needed anybody's help in any way. But now those days are gone. And actually, you know, when you're older, you will need someone else to do things for you. And when you're older, somebody else will tie a rope around you and drag you to where you don't want to go." And you think, well, why is that relevant? Well, John tells us it's relevant because he's describing the kind of death that Peter would die. It's relevant because Jesus knows that whatever Peter's love is like at this point, however humble his love is at this point, however unsure his love is at this point, Jesus knows that in the end, Peter will die for Jesus. Because he does. In the end, Peter will be martyred and hung on a cross upside down, wasn't it? In the end, Peter will find that agape love. However he would express it right there and then, it doesn't matter. Because Jesus knows the end from the beginning. He knows Peter's life. He knows what he will achieve. And so he can give him his forgiveness. He can give him his love. He can give him his blessing right there and then and say, "Follow me. Follow me on this journey. Follow me and grow with me." because that's what it's all about. And when we stay close to him, his love in us will grow, no matter where we are right now. This is a journey. Peter wasn't perfect, and we don't have to be, to love Jesus and follow Jesus right now. And we can know that his love, his agape love, will be with us always.